Unsolicited Advice miniseries by Ethan Blakewell. Bridging the Divide. Navigating Workplace Conflicts with Clarity and Empathy. Copyright 2024 by Ethan Blakewell. All rights reserved. The characters and events portrayed in this book are fictitious. Any similarity to real persons, living or dead, is coincidental and not intended by the author. No part of this book may be reproduced or stored in a retrieval system or transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic, mechanical, photocopying, recording, or otherwise, without express written permission of the publisher. Chapter 1. Strategic Divergence. The tension in the room was so thick that you could cut it with a knife. I looked around. My colleagues and vendor engineers were a motley crew of expressions. Some sat with their heads in their hands, leaning heavily on the table. Others leaned back with arms crossed, exuding silent frustration. A few, despite trying to maintain composure, couldn't help but roll their eyes. We were at an ostensible impasse with this project direction. What seemed so simple to us before we all sat down in this windowless conference room now appeared to be an insurmountable wall of bricks with no way through. What we thought was a sensible solution to us apparently was not technically possible with our vendor. The vendor team proposed a solution that at first glance seemed inconvenient at best and downright absurd at worst. Their insistence that it was the only way to proceed was both frustrating and illogical, leaving us feeling stuck and unable to move forward. The above may seem overly familiar to you if you spend any time in a business world. Productivity goes to zero, and hour after hour is being wasted on trying to prove that your way is the only proper way of moving forward, or worse, yelling at each other and getting ever more closer to a heart attack. It not even need to be a large project and complex technical decision. It could be as simple as a call to a customer service or a hallway conversation with a colleague. The situations are similar. Both sides have their unique understanding of what it will take them to move forward to the next step, and both do not like the other solution. So how would you approach resolving this situation? When we set aside personal animosity and dislikes, what remains is something called strategic divergence. This term describes a scenario where colleagues or team members have differing visions, approaches, or long-term goals regarding a business issue. In other words, the conflict stems from varied perspectives on achieving success rather than personal disagreements or misunderstandings. The key word here is perspective. However, there's more to it than that. To effectively address such situations, we need to understand the underlying factors that create them and explore strategies for resolution. Let's dive deeper into what drives these conflicts and how to navigate them constructively. The great news is that not only can you understand the root causes of workplace conflicts, but you can also tackle them more effectively, saving time and mental energy along the way. By mastering the basic principles of conflict dynamics and applying the unconventional strategies outlined in later chapters, you'll transform into a behind-the-scenes workplace problem solver. Key takeaway: workplace conflicts often stem from strategic divergence, differing perspectives on how to achieve success rather than personal disagreements. Recognizing these differences allows teams to focus on understanding each other's goals rather than fighting to prove who is right. The solution lies in shifting the focus from positions to shared objectives, emphasizing collaboration rather than confrontation. By addressing the root causes of divergence, you can transform a potential stalemate into a productive discussion that leads to progress. Chapter 2. Why, oh why? We decided that enough is enough and this is a good time to have a lunch break. As it usually happens, vendor's account rep had ordered lunch. Everyone lined up at the makeshift buffet made out of the office desks along the glass wall of the conference room. Both teams have been working together for a while now, and many have also known each other from prior engagements for a long time. So once the business setting turned into a more casual one, people started to chit-chat. I stood in line behind one of my colleagues who was talking to vendor's senior engineer. "So," he began, leaning forward slightly, "just how come you guys wouldn't do what we asked? After all, it makes perfect sense, and we're not asking for anything extraordinary." The other guy shrugged. "I know, I get it. It does make perfect sense. It's just, we don't do it just for you." "What do you mean?" Well, this platform is a shared environment, he explained, glancing at the food tray and debating between a BLT and a club sandwich. Making the changes you're asking for would affect all our other clients. Isn't that, not very flexible? Asked my colleague, now also eyeing the sandwich options. It is, the engineer admitted, picking up a bottle of water and heading back to the round table. My colleague followed and I tagged along, curious and determined to hear more. So why didn't you mention that during the discussion? Pressed my colleague, his tone edging into frustration. You didn't ask, the engineer countered smoothly, taking a deliberate bite of his sandwich. At this point, I had to step in. It dawned on me that we were approaching the issue entirely wrong. Blinded by our own needs and our perfect vision of the solution, we hadn't stopped to ask why the other side was proposing their approach. By failing to understand their reasoning, we completely overlooked the fact that they were constrained by something beyond their control, a shared customer platform. They weren't opposing us. They were trying to navigate around an immovable obstacle. To be fair, the vendors team hadn't mentioned this constraint either. For them, it had long been an unavoidable reality, so ingrained in their operations that they no longer considered it a factor worth explaining. As a result, their solutions aimed to meet our needs without addressing the specific approach we had requested. Talk about a wasted morning. You can probably recognize the situation from one of your own encounters as well. It may differ slightly depending on a context, but the underlying reason here was a failure to recognize other parties' constraints. Their view of the end goal was similar to ours, albeit with somewhat different outcome, and the means of getting there were completely different. Although both sides were trying hard to find a common ground, both failed to do so. The simple solution to this conflict was to start asking why, question, and ask it as many times as necessary until we get to the point where each participant will recognize a full set of constraints for each side which prevent us from finding the common solution. You probably recognize this technique as 5 Whys method. Many know it and many fail to use it. We get so consumed by our own vision of how that we neglect to ask why. The whole conversation should have gone around the following scenario. Problem: the vendor refuses to implement a requested customer solution. 1. Why? The requested change conflicts with their standard processes. 2. Why? The platform is shared by multiple clients. 3. Why? Customizing for one client could negatively impact others. 4. Why? The system lacks flexibility for client-specific solutions. 5. Why? It was originally designed to optimize for uniformity, not customization. Root cause: platform limitations due to its shared nature. Solution: collaborate with the vendor to explore alternative solutions that balance client needs with platform constraints. Fortunately for us, in the situation you just learned about, the lunchtime conversation led to a successful resolution of the conflict in less than 30 minutes after last sandwich was costumed. Success: unknown resources or capabilities constraints is one of the major sources of workplace conflicts. It also has some relatives like differing workflows or processes and, more general, miscommunication or lack of clarity. In all cases, it pays to ask questions. Many questions. And check with the other party if you understood correctly by rephrasing their answer back to them. Once you get to the root of the issue and you both agree that this is exactly what prevents you from moving forward, the constructive dialogue can begin. To illustrate the point above, consider this example from a real workplace situation. We spent countless hours trying to align project deliverables between our team and the vendor team. Despite our best efforts, nothing seemed to work. That is, until someone proposed asking if the vendor's developers use the Agile methodology for software development. It turned out they did not. Trying to align waterfall method and Agile is as similar as trying to mix oil and water. You can shake it all you want, but they'll never truly blend without a whole lot of frustration and a good blender. Key takeaway: uncovering the root cause of a conflict often requires asking why repeatedly, as outlined in the 5 Whys method. However, asking is only the first step. You must also actively listen and validate the other party's responses. Understanding constraints, whether they are technical, procedural, or resource-based, is critical for finding mutually acceptable solutions. Effective resolution requires patience, curiosity, and the willingness to explore alternative paths that consider everyone's needs and limitations. By fostering open communication, you can avoid wasted time and focus on constructive problem solving. Chapter 3. The Invisible Chains. The voices in the room were reaching a fever pitch, echoing off the walls of our cramped conference room. It's not every day you see colleagues outright yelling at each other, and even less often at full volume. Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating a little, but in this tense space, that's exactly how it felt. Chris, our senior project manager, was visibly furious, his frustration boiling over. "This is ridiculous," he shouted. "I'm trying to keep this house of cards from collapsing and at least get us to a workable MVP, and all I ever get from you are excuses." Steve, our senior developer, wasn't backing down. His face was red, his posture rigid as he fired back. "This so-called MVP is turning into a full-blown product. What you're asking for is completely unrealistic given the timeline." Chris leaned forward, pointing accusingly. "We're running an agile shop here, Steve. You created these stories and included them in this sprint, and now you're telling me to cut them from the epic?" Steve's frustration didn't waver. "I can't help it, Chris. My hands are tied. I've got no resources left." "No resources left?" Chris shot back, his tone tinged with incredulity. "What are you talking about?" Steve hesitated for a moment, his voice softening. "Something came up. Sorry, I should have mentioned it earlier. A couple of days ago, Mark, our VP, stopped by and dropped one of his pet projects on me. There was nothing I could do. You know how he is." His voice trailed off. The room finally fell into silence, the tension hanging heavy in the air. This was an aha moment, the realization dawning on everyone. The unexpected constraint wasn't about technical limitations or poor planning. It was the unspoken hierarchy at play. This situation serves as yet another reminder of the hidden constraints people may face, constraints that often prevent us from finding common ground. However, this type of challenge is harder to uncover, as the real issue isn't always technical or procedural, but rooted in interpersonal dynamics and unspoken hierarchies. The key lesson here is to stay calm and resist the urge to escalate. Losing your cool might momentarily relieve frustration, but it often makes the other person defensive, closing off the opportunity for genuine problem solving. While asking why repeatedly is a tried and true method to uncover root causes, it isn't always enough in these situations. You must be prepared to take a more nuanced approach. Show empathy and create an environment where your colleague feels safe enough to open up. People are more likely to confide in you about difficult power struggles if they sense you're not there to judge, but to collaborate. Let's take another look at how this might play out in a real workplace scenario. After the initial shouting subsided in the conference room, Chris and Steve sat in an awkward silence. Breaking the tension, Chris took a deep breath and shifted his tone. "Steve," he said, his voice calm now, "I get it. This wasn't your decision, and you're stuck trying to manage an impossible situation. Can we work together to figure this out?" Steve glanced up, his defensive posture softening. "Yeah," he admitted. "I didn't mean for it to blow up like this. I've just been under a lot of pressure." Chris nodded, leaning back in his chair. "Let's forget about the task list for a minute. Tell me, what's really going on?" Relieved, Steve explained how Mark, their VP, had bypassed the usual process to assign him a last-minute project. "It's not just about the extra work," Steve said, "but the way it came in. I can't exactly push back on Mark, and I knew if I brought it up to the team, it would cause even more tension." Chris listened intently, then said, "I understand now, but we can't let this derail the sprint. Here's what we'll do. I'll schedule a meeting with Mark to clarify priorities. Meanwhile, let's brainstorm how we can shift some non-essential tasks off your plate without compromising the MVP." The two worked together to restructure the sprint, reallocating resources and reprioritizing tasks. Chris's willingness to empathize and address the power dynamic head-on not only resolved the immediate conflict but strengthened trust between the two. Key takeaway: in conflicts driven by hidden constraints like unspoken hierarchies or interpersonal power struggles, the solution lies in building trust and showing empathy. Creating a safe space for dialogue can help uncover the real issues and pave the way for collaborative problem solving. The lesson here isn't just about asking why repeatedly. Instead, it's about balancing persistence with emotional intelligence, acknowledging the human side of workplace challenges, and addressing them with sensitivity and understanding. When colleagues feel supported rather than judged, they're more likely to open up, making resolution not just possible, but meaningful. Chapter 4. Different maps, same territory. Rebecca, our VP and head of sales, sat in her chair, arms crossed, her face unreadable except for the occasional eye roll. Across from her, Mark, the head of product, stood near the whiteboard, gripping a marker so tightly that his knuckles had turned white from twisting it. His body language and sharp tone made it clear he wasn't here to negotiate. "This product is critical for our clients," Mark said firmly, gesturing to the timeline sketched out on the board. "We must get it right. The timeline you're pushing for doesn't allow for proper quality control." Mark was known for his relentless focus on delivering high-quality products, and his reputation for sticking to timelines was unmatched. If anyone threatened to derail his schedule, they'd find themselves on the receiving end of his unfiltered frustration. When Mark stopped speaking, he turned to Rebecca, waiting for a response he knew wouldn't be conciliatory. And he wasn't wrong. Rebecca began, her deep voice carrying a calm authority reminiscent of a college professor. "Mark," she said, her tone unwavering, "once again, it seems you care more about the product than our clients. Your so-called quality product might as well gather dust if we can't sell it in time. Our client is ready to buy this release now, before year end. If we don't deliver, they'll turn to our competitor. Do you understand the implications of that?" Rebecca, or Becca, as most called her, was the company's sales powerhouse, responsible for more deals than the rest of the team combined. But her aggressive sales tactics often clashed with the product team, especially Mark. She had a habit of promising clients features or timelines without consulting anyone in product, a practice that drove Mark to the brink. That said, her intentions weren't malicious. Becca cared deeply about the company's clients, striving to keep them happy and meet their needs. Mark and Becca ultimately shared the same goal, satisfied customers and a successful product, but their paths to achieving it couldn't have been more different. Realizing the impasse, Chris, now the COO and a former senior project manager, stepped in as a neutral third party to mediate. "Both of you bring valid points to the table," Chris began, addressing Mark and Rebecca. "But we need to find a middle ground that prioritizes client needs while respecting our commitment to quality." Chris proposed a compromise. 1. Split delivery approach. Mark's team would focus on delivering the essential features by the year-end deadline to meet client demands. The remaining features could be part of a subsequent update, ensuring quality wasn't sacrificed. 2. Client communication plan. Rebecca would proactively communicate with the client about this phased approach, emphasizing the immediate availability of high-priority features while building excitement for the follow-up release. 3. Improved collaboration. To prevent similar conflicts in the future, Rebecca and Mark agreed to hold bi-weekly alignment meetings to discuss upcoming client demands and timelines. Mark and Rebecca both agreed to the plan, realizing it allowed them to meet the client's needs without jeopardizing the product's quality. The phased delivery turned out to be a win-win, with the client appreciating the transparency and the product team maintaining their standards. Key takeaways. 1. Recognize shared goals. Conflicts often arise from differing approaches to the same goal. Acknowledging shared objectives is the first step toward resolution. 2. Compromise is key. Finding middle ground, like a phased delivery, can balance competing priorities without alienating either party. 3. Proactive communication prevents conflict. Regular alignment meetings can help teams avoid misunderstandings and set realistic expectations. 4. Empathy and mediation. Matters sometimes a neutral third party can help conflicting sides see each other's perspectives and arrive at a solution collaboratively. By focusing on collaboration and mutual respect, even the most heated workplace disagreements can turn into opportunities for growth and innovation. Chapter 5. Ego at the gate. Junior developer John stood by the window, absent-mindedly chewing on his licorice stick, his favorite candy, though today it tasted like nothing. His mind was preoccupied with his upcoming one-on-one meeting with Sandeep, his new boss. Sandeep, with years of development experience and a stellar career at a tech giant, seemed unapproachable. For John, who had only 3 years under his belt, this felt like a meeting of mismatched worlds. Yet John wasn't an ordinary junior developer. His knack for innovation had already made him a standout in the company, and his involvement in developing a critical new feature was no small testament to his skills. But lately, frustration gnawed at him. Sandeep had dismissed all of John's suggestions for optimizing the code and simplifying the user interface, UI, opting instead for his own direction without much explanation. While Sandeep's ideas weren't inherently bad, they felt disconnected from the nuanced knowledge John had gained about the company's clients and internal coding standards. The time for the meeting had come. Taking a deep breath, John stepped into Sandeep's office. "Busy?" he asked hesitantly from the doorway. "Just a minute, take a seat," Sandeep replied, typing furiously on his keyboard. John waited while Sandeep composed one of his notoriously detailed emails, finally shutting his laptop with a decisive thud. "I'm all ears," he said, smiling. John's confidence wavered as he began. "We need to reconsider our choice of UI design. It's causing serious performance issues. QA is reporting it's practically unusable." He paused, searching for additional arguments but finding none. Sandeep didn't hesitate. "You must make it work, John," he said with a polite yet firm smile. "This UI design has been battle-tested where I came from. It'll work great here once you see it through, but we don't have much time. Stop overthinking and start coding." The conversation was over. Feeling dejected, John left the office, turning to his licorice stick for consolation. "I'm right about this," he thought, heading to the vending machine for more candy. The next day brought an unexpected development. Chris, now COO, but still deeply involved in product matters, had scheduled a meeting with both John and Sandeep. Chris, known for his ability to diffuse conflicts before they escalated, had caught wind of their disagreement. Chris greeted them in the conference room, his preferred neutral ground for resolving disputes. "Chris," he said, extending his hand to Sandeep, "welcome aboard." "Thanks," Sandeep replied, relaxing slightly. "I think I know why we're here, this new UI, right?" Chris nodded. "Yes, I've reviewed the latest QA reports and John's notes on code performance. Both of you bring valuable perspectives to the table. Let's figure this out." The trio dove into the details, analyzing the performance issues and the goals of the new design. As the discussion progressed, they uncovered a compromise. The UI could be adjusted to maintain its innovative design while integrating John's optimization suggestions to address performance concerns. The solution wasn't perfect, but it was workable, and most importantly, it brought them back on track. The conflict between John and Sandeep illustrates the challenge of reconciling differing approaches and expertise in the workplace. Chris's neutral mediation allowed both parties to feel heard, shifting the focus from personal perspectives to a collaborative, problem-solving process. By reframing the discussion around shared goals and facts, they were able to find a solution that satisfied both innovation and practicality. Key takeaways. 1. Recognize expertise. Each team member brings unique strengths. Acknowledge these differences to foster collaboration. 2. Neutral mediation. A third party can help navigate emotionally charged conflicts by providing an objective perspective. 3. Focus on shared goals. Redirect discussions toward common objectives rather than individual preferences. 4. Fact-based resolution. Use data and reports to ground the conversation, ensuring decisions are logical and practical. 5. Compromise. The best solutions often involve integrating ideas from all sides to balance innovation and feasibility. Chapter 6, Lost in Translation. Walking out of the CEO's office, Chris mulled over their conversation. The task ahead was significant, and he'd need his entire team's support to pull it off. The next offsite executive meeting was approaching fast. And as a newly minted senior executive, Chris had been assigned to prepare key materials for the senior management team. Energized by the challenge, he hurried back to his office, opened Outlook, and fired off an email. Subject: urgent QPR priority. Team, we need to prioritize QPR for the upcoming sprint. Please ensure resources are allocated appropriately. The deadline is non-negotiable. Best, Chris. The email quickly triggered a flurry of activity, but not the kind Chris had envisioned. Rebecca, the head of sales, wasn't surprised by yet another urgent email from Chris. With her year-end numbers lagging compared to the previous year, she assumed QPR referred to the quarterly product roadmap she'd been advocating for. New features critical to closing deals. She rallied her team, instructing them to prepare slide decks, customer presentations, and updated feature lists. Meanwhile, Mark, the head of product, interpreted QPR as the quality performance review, an ongoing initiative to enhance coding standards and ensure stability in the product. He immediately tasked his developers with refactoring old code and setting up performance monitoring tools. John, a junior developer on Mark's team, overheard Rebecca in the dining area talking about the quarterly product roadmap and citing Chris's email. Confused, John sought clarification from Mark, who confidently insisted his interpretation was correct. Rebecca, on the other hand, was equally convinced hers was the right approach. As the sprint kicked off, chaos ensued. Developers struggled to juggle Mark's quality-focused tasks with Rebecca's demands for sales-oriented features. Sandeep, the head of engineering, found himself caught in the middle. He tried mediating, but Rebecca's urgency clashed with Mark's unwavering focus on code quality. Tensions reached a boiling point during a team sync-up. Rebecca, why are we wasting time refactoring code when clients are demanding these features? Mark, because Chris explicitly said QPR is the priority. Quality comes first. Rebecca, no, QPR clearly means the roadmap. If we delay, we'll lose sales to our competitors. Chris, noticing the lack of progress, called an emergency meeting. As the team gathered, he could sense the tension in the room. After a few minutes of heated discussion, Chris raised a hand to quiet the room. Hold on, he said. Are you all talking about different things? By QPR, I meant the quarterly progress report, the internal document we need for next week's executive review. Silence fell over the room. John muttered under his breath, why didn't you just spell it out? Chris chuckled, shaking his head. Fair point. Lesson learned. From now on, no acronyms unless they're defined up front. Let's regroup and realign our priorities. After the meeting, Chris sent a follow-up email titled, Clarification on QPR. Let's get on the same page. He introduced a new rule for team communication. Every acronym must be spelled out the first time it's used in any document, email, or meeting. Later that day, over coffee in the cafeteria, Rebecca and Mark shared a sheepish laugh. They agreed to collaborate on a balanced plan that addressed both quality improvements and feature development. For the first time in weeks, it felt like the team was truly aligned. Chapter takeaways. 1. Ambiguity breeds chaos. Avoid miscommunication by clearly defining terms, especially acronyms. 2. Different priorities stem from different perspectives. Acknowledge that everyone's interpretation is shaped by their role and goals. 3. Neutral intervention works. A third party can help bridge divides and align teams on shared objectives. 4. Clear communication policies are critical. Establish rules that promote clarity and reduce confusion, such as spelling out acronyms. 5. Collaboration is key. When conflicts arise, compromise and mutual respect lead to better outcomes. Chapter 7. The Middle Ground Myth. Nadia and Chun, both directors in operations, couldn't hide their excitement. As middle managers juggling countless priorities with small teams, Chris, the COO, had introduced an augmentation resources initiative that seemed like a much-needed lifeline. Nadia led an emergency response team of problem managers, tasked with addressing incidents swiftly and managing recurring issues until fully resolved. Chun, the director of change management, oversaw the company's change management process, ensuring all proposed changes were compliant, well-vetted, and unlikely to disrupt services. Both were perpetually busy, often clocking 60-hour weeks and occasionally pulling night shifts. The idea of having a shared pool of contractors to support their teams was a game changer, until they realized the pool wasn't nearly large enough to meet both teams' demands. They decided to meet over coffee to hash things out. "My team is working nights and weekends," Nadia began as they sat down with their drinks. "It's only fair that we take 60 or even 70% of the pool." Known for her no-nonsense attitude, Nadia wasn't one to compromise easily. Chun, however, wasn't about to back down. "No chance," he replied, taking a long sip. "With the recent influx of changes, especially those that cause incidents your team had to stay overnight for, we're drowning in work. We need more resources to ensure proper reviews." The two had a history of working well together, and their friendly debates often led to practical solutions. "Okay," Nadia sighed, shaking her empty cup in frustration. "We'll split it down the middle." "Deal," Chun replied, standing up. "See you at the next sync meeting." They left feeling a bit better, though both remained skeptical about how much the augmentation resources would truly alleviate their workloads. At the sync meeting the following week, both presented their progress reports to Chris, but the numbers still weren't promising. While slightly improved, they were far from the results anyone had hoped for. "Did you use the contractors?" Chris asked, puzzled. "We did," Nadia and Chun replied in unison. "We split the resources 50-50, but it's not enough. We still need more people." Chris frowned. "I can't allocate more resources right now, not with the latest sales results. We're just breaking even this year." Chun, thinking quickly, shifted the conversation. "At least the new change in incident management platform we proposed got approved, right?" Chris nodded. "Yes, the vendor starts installation next week, but it'll take time for customization, so don't count on immediate relief." Nadia hesitated, then spoke up. "What if we use the shared pool of contractors to help with the platform's customization? If we fast-track its launch, we could have it operational in a week or two, and the automation would reduce our workloads significantly." Chun's eyes lit up. "That's a fantastic idea." He turned to Chris. "What do you think?" Chris smiled. "I like it. You've shown ingenuity and teamwork. Shifting resources to a high-priority project like this will ultimately benefit everyone." Nadia grinned. "Sometimes the middle ground isn't the best solution. This time, we needed to think beyond it." The project was a resounding success. The platform not only launched ahead of schedule, but also proved even more efficient than anticipated, drastically reducing workloads for both teams. With their newfound efficiency, they no longer required additional augmentation resources. The shared contractor pool was subsequently used for other high-priority projects, including collaborative efforts with Mark from product and Sandeep from engineering. The initiative demonstrated that compromise doesn't always mean splitting resources evenly. It means finding the best approach for the situation. Chapter Takeaways. 1. Compromise isn't always 50-50. Sometimes the best solution requires prioritizing the greater good over an even split. 2. Collaboration fosters creativity. Working together to solve problems can lead to innovative solutions. 3. Focus resources on high-impact areas. Strategically allocating resources can yield better long-term results. 4. Middle managers are the bridge. They play a crucial role in adapting top-level decisions into actionable strategies. 5. Challenge assumptions. Reevaluating entrenched approaches often leads to more effective solutions. Chapter 8. The Silent Stakeholders. Eric leaned forward in his chair, fully engrossed in the vendor's presentation. After months of searching, this reporting software seemed like the perfect solution for his overburdened enterprise reporting department. Requests from middle managers and senior leaders were piling up, each vying for priority, and this software promised to lighten the load. Eric also relished the opportunity to prove a point to Mark, the head of product. Mark had long insisted on building custom solutions in-house, dismissing off-the-shelf options. But Eric was confident this software would demonstrate that buying pre-built solutions could save both time and money. The excitement of presenting the software to Chris, the COO, quickly faded as the discussion turned contentious. Mark was unimpressed. "This software of yours," Mark said, frustration evident in his voice, "needs serious customization. Vendors always promise the moon, but this is all smoke and mirrors." He paused to take a sip from the large water jug he carried everywhere, then continued, "Sure, the initial cost is lower, but with an in-house solution, we'd get exactly what we need. Plus, we'd control updates and new features without waiting for a vendor juggling other clients. We're just a small fish to them." Mark, determined to sway the room, turned to Rebecca from sales. "Becca, you know how this works, right? You promise the sky to your clients all the time." Rebecca smirked but played along. "True enough. Sales is all about promises." Eric, unfazed, directed his argument to Chris. "Chris, you're one of our most frequent internal customers. You know how vital this is." Chris, who had been scanning his phone, looked up. In truth, he'd been listening closely. He saw this debate as a learning opportunity. "Well," Chris began, "I like saving money, and building in-house is expensive and diverts focus from our core product. But Mark's concerns about customization are valid." Chris paused, scanning the room. "Here's the thing. I need a more thorough analysis of stakeholder requirements. This isn't just about what you or Mark want. It's about what our internal customers need. Set up a meeting with all stakeholders, reevaluate, and present your findings next week." Eric left the meeting and made his way to the HR wing, a visit he'd been avoiding. He knocked on the door of Diana, the head of HR. "Hi, Diana," Eric said, poking his head through the door. "Got a minute?" Diana, busy as always, recognized the urgency in Eric's voice and agreed to talk. They sat in a quiet corner, and Eric recapped the meeting and his efforts to find the perfect software. To his surprise, Diana wasn't impressed. "Eric," she said thoughtfully, "you should have come to me sooner. What we need is simple." She outlined a specific requirement that, if met, would optimize HR reporting by threefold. "We waste so much time rewriting the reports your team generates. That's on me, too. I should have communicated this earlier, but I've been swamped." Eric's eyes widened. They had approached the search all wrong. Instead of focusing on the needs of their stakeholders, they had prioritized cost, supportability, and vendor perks. He felt a wave of relief, realizing the solution had been within reach all along. Eric returned to his office, already formulating a new plan. During their search, they had evaluated an open-source software that was both affordable and customizable. With a little help from Mark's team, it could easily meet HR's needs and eventually scale for other reporting demands. To Eric's surprise, Mark agreed without hesitation. The open-source option aligned with his preference for control and flexibility. Together, they implemented the solution, incorporating a self-service interface that allowed HR and other departments to access reports without further modifications. The project was a resounding success. Diana's team no longer had to rewrite reports, saving countless hours. Eric's team experienced a reduced workload, while Mark's team's customizations added value without breaking the budget. The collaboration set a new precedent for stakeholder engagement, proving that the best solutions often emerge when everyone's voice is heard. Chapter Takeaways 1. Stakeholder engagement is critical. Involving all stakeholders early ensures solutions align with their needs. 2. Customization versus off-the-shelf. A balanced approach, like combining open-source flexibility with stakeholder input, can yield the best results. 3. Effective communication saves time. Clear, proactive dialogue with stakeholders prevents misaligned priorities. 4. Collaboration builds trust. Working across teams fosters mutual respect and shared success. 5. Challenge assumptions. Revisit preconceived notions about solutions to uncover better alternatives. Chapter 9. The Energy Drain. Nadia glanced up from her desk, her thoughts interrupted by an unusual sound echoing down the corridor. Executive assistant Linda was singing? "Merry season is soon, and the new calendar's hey-ee-ee-ee-ee-ee." Linda's cheerful voice carried through the air as she marched along, carrying a hefty stack of printed calendars. Two thoughts competed for Nadia's attention. 1. Linda can sing? And 2. It's that time of year again. She sighed. End-of-year holiday scheduling had always been her least favorite part of managing a 24/7 incident team. Every December, the challenge of balancing business continuity with personal holiday plans turned into a whirlwind of stress. A few years back, things had gotten so competitive that employees started requesting holiday time a year in advance, creating chaos. Nadia had put an end to that by introducing a fairer system. Holiday schedules would only be finalized a month in advance, and everyone had to submit requests explaining why they couldn't work during the holidays. The downside? It still left her desk flooded with emails. As she returned from her morning meeting, Nadia found 17 new messages waiting, each filled with compelling reasons for time off. She popped open an energy drink from her desk stash with a sigh. "Salad Wednesday," Chun's enthusiastic voice cut through Nadia's growing frustration. The change management director poked his head into her office with a grin. "You don't look thrilled," Chun observed, noting her drained expression. "Because I'm not," Nadia groaned. "Holiday scheduling, again." "Ah, that old chestnut," Chun nodded knowingly. "Have you tried rotating shifts?" "Tried it. Didn't work," Nadia replied, standing up to join him. "It's just draining. I hate forcing people to work during the holidays when I know how much they need time with their families." As they waited in line for their food, Chun and Nadia swapped ideas, debating pros and cons while eyeing the dwindling salad options. "Honestly, I'm exhausted just thinking about it," Nadia said. "I feel like no matter what, someone ends up unhappy, and I'm the villain." Deep in their conversation, they failed to notice Chris, the COO, standing behind them until he grabbed a tray and joined their table. "Well, sorry to eavesdrop," Chris said, opening a bag of chips, "but I might have just the thing to save you from the holiday headache." Chris tore open a BBQ sauce packet and grinned. "How about a game? The holiday swap lottery plan." "A game?" Nadia repeated, raising an eyebrow. "Yep," Chris said, launching into his idea. "Let's make it fun with a holiday swap lottery. Here's how it works. 1. Everyone ranks their top 3 holiday preferences. 2. A weighted lottery assigns holiday slots, giving priority to people who missed out last year. 3. Once the results are announced, employees can trade their slots using a structured swap marketplace. The twist," he added with a playful smile, "is that employees can get creative. Swaps can involve deals, covering shifts, bringing treats, or even organizing team celebrations. It turns scheduling into a collaborative, team-building activity." Nadia looked skeptical. "Sounds interesting, but will people actually play along?" Chris leaned back, spreading BBQ sauce on his sandwich with deliberate care. "People love games. Trust me. It's way better than you sitting at your desk drowning in excuses and energy drinks." Implementation and surprises. Despite some initial hesitation, Nadia and Chun decided to roll out the lottery system. To their surprise, it worked even better than expected. The marketplace revealed unexpected alliances. A veteran employee, known for being a bit grumpy, traded a prized holiday slot with a new team member whose spouse was returning from military deployment. A notorious prankster offered to organize a New Year's potluck, complete with karaoke, in exchange for getting Christmas Eve off. One team member, inspired by the spirit of the system, volunteered for an unpopular shift and left cupcakes on everyone's desk as a surprise treat. Even Linda got involved, suggesting they add a sing for your shift option, where employees could perform a holiday song to earn extra consideration. It wasn't officially added, but Nadia did find herself humming along to an impromptu rendition of Jingle Bell Rock from one of her team members during a break. The lottery turned into a fun, morale-boosting experience. Nadia and Chun watched in amazement as their teams worked together, negotiating swaps and creating solutions that didn't just solve the scheduling issue but brought everyone closer together. Takeaways. 1. Creativity can solve recurring issues. Turning a stressful process into a collaborative, game-like activity helped alleviate tensions and foster teamwork. 2. Flexibility encourages morale. Allowing employees to negotiate and trade shifts gave them a sense of control and encouraged goodwill within the team. 3. Leadership sets the tone. Chris's suggestion to gamify the process provided a fresh perspective, proving that even long-standing challenges can be approached in new ways. 4. Unexpected benefits. Build team spirit. The lottery system didn't just solve the problem. It created opportunities for generosity, collaboration, and bonding, making it a beloved tradition. Chapter 10. Winning isn't everything. Maria was a marketing legend. Her campaigns were iconic and her victories were the stuff of company lore. But her winning streak hit a snag when she crossed paths with Austin, the new head of finance. Marketing wasn't cheap, and Maria knew the key to her success lay in securing a big budget and the freedom to spend it her way. She came to the budget meeting ready for battle, armed with past wins, powerful arguments, and her usual determination to win at all costs. Austin, however, wasn't a fighter. Soft-spoken and methodical, he avoided confrontation and trusted numbers to tell the story. As the two sat down across the conference table with their teams and stacks of budget proposals, the tension in the room was palpable. Maria wasted no time. She unleashed a torrent of data, success stories, and a well-crafted argument tying her department's budget directly to the company's sales goals. Austin tried to counter with his spreadsheets and projections, but Maria's experience and confidence overwhelmed him. She accused him of jeopardizing sales and failing to understand marketing's value. Backed into a corner, Austin reluctantly conceded, approving Maria's budget in full. While Maria left triumphant, Austin felt defeated. He anticipated backlash from the CFO and started questioning his fit for the role. If this is how it's going to be, he thought, there's no way we'll support marketing again. Maria's victory was short-lived. Suddenly, every marketing expense request hit a wall. Ads, vendor payments, even basic supplies like stationery were stuck in endless approval limbo. Her team's momentum ground to a frustrating halt. Meanwhile, the CFO, having heard about the budget showdown, summoned Maria and Austin for a meeting. Maria, the CFO began, your track record is undeniable, and I understand the importance of marketing. But Austin's job is to ensure we operate lean and competitive. You may have won this round, but at what cost? Collaboration is critical. Maria bristled. But the vendor contracts, the advertising, the print materials, it's all essential. And now I can't even get basic approvals. The CFO raised a hand. I hear you, but relationships matter more than budgets. You need to work with Austin, not against him. Winning the budget isn't everything. Building trust and mutual respect will take you much further. After the meeting, Maria approached Austin. For the first time, they had an honest collaborative discussion. Austin explained his challenges and Maria shared her department's needs. Together, they identified areas where costs could be trimmed without compromising campaign effectiveness. They agreed to streamline vendor contracts, reduce unnecessary expenses, and set clearer guidelines for approvals. With a renewed sense of partnership, they worked together to craft a budget both could stand behind. Over time, their collaboration paid off. Marketing continued to thrive, and finance became a trusted ally instead of a roadblock. Austin gained confidence in his role, and Maria learned that sharing the spotlight could strengthen her department. Chapter takeaways. 1. Balance is key. Success requires collaboration between departments, not domination by one. 2. Communication is crucial. Open, honest discussions can prevent and resolve conflicts. 3. Think long-term. Short-term victories can damage long-term relationships and goals. 4. Flexibility matters. Finding common ground leads to better solutions for everyone. 5. Empathy. Wins. Understanding and respecting others' perspectives strengthen teamwork. Chapter 11. Final thoughts. Well, we've reached the conclusion of this book. The lessons and stories we've explored might seem like common sense, but you'd be surprised how often they're ignored. Many professionals unknowingly sabotage their own success, whether by clinging to short-term wins at the expense of long-term relationships, resisting collaboration, or failing to adapt to new dynamics. I've witnessed talented individuals create unnecessary roadblocks, damage vital partnerships, and miss out on growth opportunities because they couldn't see beyond their immediate goals. That's not you. You've taken the time to learn how to navigate corporate challenges with strategy, empathy, and foresight. You now understand the importance of balancing confidence with collaboration, leveraging trust over triumph, and focusing on relationships that drive sustainable success. Armed with these insights, you're better prepared to thrive in any work environment, no matter how complex. Remember, success in the workplace isn't just about being the smartest or loudest in the room. It's about building bridges, thinking strategically, and creating a path that benefits both you and your team. Put these principles into practice and watch your career flourish. The choice is yours. Use this knowledge wisely, and good luck on your professional journey. I would love to hear how this book helped you adapt to your new team and new company. Please do not hesitate to drop me a line with your comments or suggestions for future titles at contact@ethanblakewell.com. Check out my website for more information and new books releases. ethanblakewell.com. Our sister company, My Freedom Compass, has even more free resources to help you on your journey. Check them out here, myfreedomcompass.com. Thank you, and until next time, Ethan Blakewell.